Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Where are you now?
This is North Gaza. This is my neighborhood. No one lives here or here or there or there. There's no one.
Fatma Hassona, a 25-year-old Palestinian photojournalist, was killed with 10 members of her family in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza Thursday. She's the subject of a new documentary just accepted by the Cannes Film Festival. It's called Put Your Soul on Your Hand and Walk. We'll speak with the film's director, Sepideh Farsi. But first, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. continues his mixed messages on vaccines as the measles epidemic surpasses 700 cases in the United States with three deaths. We'll talk to vaccine expert Dr. Peter Hotez, author of Vaccines Did Not Cause Rachel's Autism, My Journey as a Vaccine Scientist, Pediatrician, and Autism Dad.
Our vaccine ecosystem is very fragile because measles is so highly transmissible. The minute you stop vaccinating and maintaining that vigilance of 90-95% vaccine coverage, measles comes roaring back, and that's what's happened here in West Texas.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Yemen, Houthi-run media reports U.S. airstrikes targeting the Ras Issa oil port have killed at least 58 people. Over 125 others were wounded. The U.S. has been systematically attacking Yemen over the past month after Houthi fighters vowed to continue targeting Red Sea ships tied to Israel's war on Gaza. U.S. airstrikes on Yemen have killed over 180 people since mid-March, including many women and children. Israel's bombardment of Gaza continues, claiming at least another 34 victims today, including 10 members of the same family that were killed in a strike on a home in Khan Yunis earlier today. Meanwhile, one of the victims of an Israeli airstrike on Wednesday was revealed to be the young Palestinian photojournalist Fatma Hassona. She was killed along with 10 members of her family in Gaza City. She's the subject of a new documentary that was just accepted at the Cannes Film Festival. We'll speak with the director, Sepideh Farsi, later in the broadcast. Hamas is calling for comprehensive ceasefire negotiations to definitively end the war on Gaza, including a full captive swap, as it rejected an Israeli interim proposal.
Netanyahu and his government use partial agreements as a cover for their political agenda, which is based on continuing the war of extermination and starvation. Even if the price is sacrificing all his hostages, we will not be part of passing this policy.
In legal news, the International Criminal Courts initiated proceedings against Hungary after the government of Prime Minister Viktor Orban failed to execute an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he visited Hungary earlier this month. Just ahead of the visit, Orban announced he's withdrawing from the ICC. Netanyahu is wanted for war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza. Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen confirmed Thursday night he met with Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the Maryland father who the Trump administration says they forcibly transferred to an El Salvador mega prison last month by administrative error. Van Hollen shared a photo of the two seated together at a table in what appears to be a hotel restaurant. Senator Van Hollen traveled to El Salvador Wednesday in a push for Abrego Garcia's release, but had initially been barred from having any contact with him. Abrego Garcia's wife, Jennifer, celebrated the meeting, saying in a statement, "My children and my prayers have been answered," unquote. Meanwhile, in response to the senator's visit, Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele said on social media, quote, now that he's been confirmed healthy, he gets the honor of staying in El Salvador's custody. Bukele also wrote, quote, Kilmar Abrego Garcia miraculously risen from the death camps and torture, now sipping margaritas with Senator Van Hollen in the tropical paradise of El Salvador, unquote. Abrego Garcia lived in Maryland for almost 15 years after fleeing gang violence in El Salvador and is a sheet metal worker. This comes at a federal appeals court ruled the Trump administration must comply with a judge's order for government officials to be deposed over Kilmar Abrego Garcia's case. That judge, Paula Zinnes, is weighing contempt proceedings against Trump officials. In the unanimous ruling Thursday, Fourth Circuit Court Judge Harvey Wilkinson, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, wrote the Trump administration's acts are shocking, writing, quote, the government is asserting a right to stash away residents of this country in foreign prisons without the semblance of due process that is the foundation of our constitutional order, unquote. This all comes as ACLU immigration attorney Lee Gelernt has confirmed that a group of Venezuelan immigrants currently jailed at the Bluebonnet ICE jail in Texas were told they are at risk of also being expelled from the United States under the controversial Alien Enemies Act of 1798, despite the ongoing legal challenges against its use. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear oral arguments over President Trump's executive order attempting to end birthright citizenship as the measure remains on hold. The hearing is scheduled for May 15th, with a decision likely to be issued this summer. Several federal lower court judges have blocked the order, saying it violates the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment. Trump signed the executive order on his first day back in office. In other immigration news, Reuters is reporting Secretary of State Marco Rubio is ordering officials to review the social media accounts of visa applicants who visited the Gaza Strip any time in the past 18 years, including for work with aid organizations. A U.S.-born citizen who was arrested in Florida, accused of being undocumented and entering the state unlawfully, has been released after spending the night in jail on a 48-hour hold requested by ICE. Juan Carlos Lopez Gomez is from Georgia and was driving across state lines to his construction job in Tallahassee when he was pulled over, then taken into custody. He remained jailed despite presenting a copy of his birth certificate and Social Security card brought to court by his mother. Lopez Gomez was arrested and charged under a contested anti-immigration law known as SB4C, signed by Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis 2 months ago, despite a federal court order temporarily blocking the measure from being enforced. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has signed a $30 million deal with a controversial surveillance tech giant Palantir, which will be used to help track and deport immigrants, including people who might have overstayed their visas. A database would also track cases of self-deportation and share data with Customs and Border Protection. The outlet 404 Media reports Palantir, which was founded by Elon Musk ally and billionaire Trump supporter Peter Thiel, has been working in recent weeks to increase ICE's capacity to monitor immigrants with final deportation orders. The new agreement is an extension of a contract with Palantir first signed by the Biden administration. Here in New York City, members of Jews for Racial and Economic Justice, their allies and elected leaders, gathered Thursday for the group's annual Seder in the Streets on the sixth night of Passover. The protest took place under the banner of No Fascists, No Pharaohs. New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani, who's been endorsed by Jews for Racial and Economic Justice, spoke at the event.
And we know that in this moment in this city, when one in four New Yorkers is living in poverty, when 500,000 children go to sleep hungry every night, when more than 90% of New Yorkers agree that affordability is a serious issue, that this freedom is not just the right to live with our families in homes, but to be able to afford that home, to afford that dinner that we can share together as we break that bread.
Meanwhile, in Boston, 400 Jewish residents and others joined rabbis and community leaders to call for the release of the abducted Tufts graduate student, Ramesa Ozturk. The Passover rally was organized by the progressive Jewish group, If Not Now. On Wednesday, an immigration judge denied bond for Ozturk, declaring her to be a potential so-called danger to the community. Ramesa Ozturk is from Turkey. She was arrested in the streets of Somerville by masked agents for co-authoring a student op-ed on Tufts' response to Gaza solidarity protests on campus. The Trump administration is threatening to bar Harvard from enrolling international students unless university officials hand over the records of its current international students. This comes after Harvard openly rejected Trump's earlier ultimatum to the school, asserting its independence and constitutional rights. Meanwhile, House Republicans launched a civil rights probe into Harvard over its policy on trans athletes and diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, which defy Trump's orders. On Thursday, protests took place on college campuses across the United States, condemning the White House's attack on education and students. This is a student at the University of California, Berkeley.
I think that we have something that we're fighting for that is a little bit different than what we've been fighting for in the past, and that is our very right to keep fighting and our right to resist and our right to speak and learn and teach, even if it disagrees with a current political regime. And I think this is the fight to win all fights, and that we need to show up and in a way that is more powerful and more abundant than in the past.
A federal judge ruled Google has run illegal monopolies on two markets for web advertising technology. It's the second antitrust ruling against Google in the past year. In 2023, a federal jury also concluded Google's proprietary app store is an unlawful monopoly. But the judge Thursday struck down one of the Justice Department's arguments against Google, making it unclear whether or when Google will be forced to sell off part of its online ad business. Consumer advocates welcomed yesterday's news with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren declaring, quote, Google is an illegal monopolist and it's time to break up this tech giant, Senator Warren said. President Trump threatened to fire Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell after Powell opted not to cut interest rates and warned Trump's tariffs are highly likely to raise inflation and slow growth. Trump made the comments, renewing an ongoing dispute in his first term, despite the Fed's independence being protected by law.
Oh, he'll leave. If I ask him to, he'll be out of there. But I don't think he's doing the job. He's too late, always too late, a little slow, and I'm not happy with him. I let him know it, and if I want him out, he'll be out of there real fast, believe me.
The Supreme Court is currently reviewing a case involving two labor officials whom Trump fired, but were later reinstated after judges determined the president does not have the authority to remove them. An outcome favorable to Trump in that case could pave the way for him to also fire Jerome Powell. The Trump administration is seeking to redefine the meaning of harm under the Endangered Species Act in a move which environmentalists warn would threaten the survival of hundreds of plant and animal species. The proposed rule would allow industry to degrade or destroy habitats of endangered species, including panthers, sea turtles, bald eagles, spotted owls, gray wolves, and humpback whales. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the United States will determine in the coming days whether ending Russia's war on Ukraine is doable and may soon withdraw U.S. involvement.
We need to figure out here now within a matter of days whether this is doable in the short term, because if it's not, then I think we're just going to move on from our perspective.
The comments reflect the tensions between Washington and Kyiv and the growing wedge between Trump and its European counterparts as they try to compensate for the change in U.S. involvement in the Ukraine war under Trump. Meanwhile, Trump said on Thursday his administration would sign a deal with Kyiv in 1 week, exchanging security for access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals. The details of the deal are said to still be under negotiation. Inside Ukraine, Russian air attacks earlier today killed one person in Sumy and another in Kharkiv. The heavy bombardment in a residential area of Kharkiv wounded dozens of others, including children. In Florida, a 20-year-old son of a sheriff's deputy killed two people and injured at least six others when he opened fire Thursday on the Florida State University campus. Phoenix Ickner used a gun that was the former service weapon of Leon County Sheriff's Deputy Jessica Ickner, his mother. The suspect was also a member of the Sheriff's Youth Advisory Council. A motive has yet to be disclosed. And here in New York, a federal grand jury indicted Luigi Mangione, charging him with stalking and murder through the use of a firearm in the December shooting death of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. The murder charge holds a possible death penalty sentence if convicted. Mangione's lawyer accused Attorney General Pam Bondi of prejudicing the grand jury when she signaled recently she would seek the death penalty for Mangione. His defense said, quote, the stakes could not be higher. The United States government intends to kill Mr. Mangione as a political stunt, unquote. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. continues his mixed messages on vaccines as the measles epidemic spreads across 24 states in the United States. We'll speak with vaccine expert and autism dad, Dr. Peter Hotez. Stay with us. Fallen Down by Rimbana. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In his first news conference as Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a vaccine skeptic who now oversees the nation's federal health agencies, focused on new findings about autism published in a Center for Disease Control report, which found an increase in apparent autism rates among 8-year-old children. Kennedy described autism as an epidemic and blamed environmental factors for the increase in the prevalence of autism spectrum disorder.
This is a preventable disease. We know it's an environmental exposure. It has to be. Genes do not cause epidemics. They can provide a vulnerability. You need an environmental toxin.
RFK Jr. did not connect autism to vaccines during his news conference, but in his previous role as chair of Children's Health Defense, he'd repeatedly claimed that vaccines cause autism, which they do not. Meanwhile, as the number of measles cases in the United States surpasses 700, RFK Jr.'s position on the measles vaccine is mixed. At an event Tuesday with Republican Indiana Governor Mike Brown and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Administrator Dr. Mehmet Oz, Kennedy said the measles vaccine is leaky, which medical experts dispute.
People get measles because they don't vaccinate. They get measles because the vaccine wanes. The vaccines wane about 4.8% per year. And so, you know, that it's a leaky vaccine, and that problem is always going to be around.
Measles cases have been reported in at least 24 states, with the majority of infections in Texas, where the outbreak began in January. Three unvaccinated people have died from measles-related illnesses so far, an adult in New Mexico, and two elementary-age school children in rural Texas. Before that, there wasn't a measles death for the last decade. Earlier this month, Kennedy attended the funeral of the second child who died of measles, an 8-year-old girl in West Texas. During his visit, he posted on social media the most effective way to prevent the spread of measles is the MMR vaccine, unquote. However, he's also continued to raise safety concerns about vaccines. In an interview last week with CBS News chief medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook, Kennedy claimed the vaccines were, quote, not safety tested.
I'm not going to take people's vaccines away from them. Right. What I'm going to do is make sure that we have good science so that people can make an informed choice. And we are doing that science today so that we know the risks of that product. And we also know what the benefits are. And right now, we don't know the risks of many of these products because they're not safety tested.
And I understand that position. But just to be clear, you are saying, and we do on the federal level, and you personally do recommend that people get the measles vaccine.
Yeah, and when I say they're not safety tested, what I mean is they're not adequately. Many of the vaccines are tested for only 3 or 4 days with no placebo group.
Measles is a highly contagious airborne disease that's preventable through vaccines and had been considered eliminated from the United States in 2000. The disease has now spread to border communities in Canada and Mexico, with Canada reporting 730 cases, Mexico at least 360 cases, with one death. For more on RFK Jr. and his positions on measles and autism and what to do about the growing number of cases of measles, we're joined now from Boston by Dr. Peter Hotez, who's usually in Texas. He's dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine and professor of pediatrics and molecular virology and microbiology at Baylor College of Medicine, where he's also the co-director of the Texas Children's Center for Vaccine Development. He's the author of several books, including The Deadly Rise of Anti-Science, A Scientist's Warning, and Vaccines Did Not Cause Rachel's Autism, My Journey as a Vaccine Scientist, Pediatrician, and Autism Dad. Dr. Hotez, welcome back to Democracy Now! So
thanks for having me, Amy.
We recently spoke, but since then, I believe two more people have died of measles. If you can explain how rare this is, and what actually is happening in your state of Texas?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen a measles death in a very long time. And now we have two unvaccinated children who tragically died from measles. These were otherwise healthy school-aged children who did not have to die, but they weren't vaccinated with the highly effective and safe MMR vaccine. And this measles epidemic is really escalating. We now have at least 500-plus known cases of measles in West Texas. It's probably much higher than that, because if you do the back of the envelope calculation based on the case fatality rate of measles, there's probably closer to 1,000 or maybe even more than that cases in West Texas. And now it's extending into New Mexico, into Oklahoma, into Kansas. They all seem to be related to the same very large epidemic. So this is sweeping across the Great Plains. And we've had sustained transmission now since the very beginning of the year, possibly even earlier than that. And the worry is that we're going to reach a point where, if it continues, we could even lose our elimination status for measles, which was so hard fought.
Can you respond to RFK Jr.'s, what seems to be, I mean, it's nuance, but a slightly shifting position? He would not have endorsed MMR, the measles vaccine, before. But now, under enormous pressure, with hundreds and hundreds of cases of measles and it being fast growing, he has said he's not opposed to them. Can you explain and also address his concerns?
Well, his comments are insufficient. He grudgingly acknowledges the importance of the MMR vaccine and immunizations when it's the only way we're going to be able to contain this highly dangerous and lethal epidemic. So he needs to be much more of an advocate for MMR vaccinations. And he surrounds it with disinformation, Amy. You know, he says the measles vaccine is a leaky vaccine. I'm not even sure I know what that means, but it's absolute nonsense. It's one of the most effective and safest vaccines we have. A single dose, over 90% protection. Two doses, 97% protection. You know, I'm a vaccine developer, a vaccine scientist. We make vaccines for global health. We've reached 100 million doses of our low-cost vaccines for COVID administered globally, and now vaccines for parasitic disease vaccines. When we're designing our vaccine, our strategy, when we whiteboard this out, our gold standard is the MMR vaccine. We aspire to make a vaccine that's as good as the MMR vaccine, and yet he calls it leaky, which is absolute nonsense. He also gives an absolutely false number. He says there's a decline of 4% protection, vaccine protection per year. It's absolute nonsense. It's nothing like that. If it declines at all, and there's some estimates that it could be 0.04%, not 4%, so 100-fold less. So that's really unfortunate. And then when he talks about vaccination, he then often will pair it with this false equivalency, talking about a steroid, budesonide, which has no preventative activity, or vitamin A, which is not preventative, or he's using other unproven interventions. And that really sends a mixed message, because it tells parents, hey, you have the choice. Either you get the MMR vaccine or you get this nonsense cocktail of interventions. So he still has a long way to go about all of these things.
So let me go to RFK Jr. speaking to Fox News' Sean Hannity last month.
It used to be when I were kids, everybody got measles. And measles gave you lifetime protection against measles infection. The vaccine doesn't do that. The vaccine is effective for some people for life, but many people it wanes.
If you can respond, Dr. Peter Hotez, everyone used to get measles, he said.
That's right. Everyone used to get measles, and measles at one time was the single leading killer of children globally. And it caused hundreds of deaths annually in the United States in the pre-vaccine era. I mean, we've got, you know, we know what measles does. 20% of children who are unfortunate enough to get measles because they've not been vaccinated, 20% are hospitalized, measles pneumonia, measles encephalitis, permanent hearing loss from neurologic damage, sometimes loss of vision. Measles is a bad actor. It's one of the most serious childhood infections we know about. And the fact that he would be so dismissive of it, again, this is had been consistently his modus operandi and the modus operandi of the anti-vaccine lobby. What they do is they're dismissive of the severity of childhood infections, especially measles. And what they'll do is they'll exaggerate the very, very rare side effects that occasionally occur, but we're talking extremely rare instances. And the consequence of that is parents then make executive decisions based on the disinformation coming from Mr. Kennedy and others and decide not to vaccinate their kids. And this is happening now across the Great Plains in the United States, and we see what the consequences are. Likely thousands of cases of measles, 56 hospitalizations so far, and now three measles deaths.
In March, the Washington Post reported that HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, hired David Geyer to study vaccine autism data. Geyer or Geyer, who is he?
I don't know much about him. That's a sort of a blast from the past. I hadn't heard his name or his father's name for some time. But the point is, you know, what's his rationale for doing this? There we have, as I've outlined in the book about my daughter, we have detailed evidence showing there's no vaccine and autism link. And one of the things the anti-vaccine lobby does is they always move the goalposts. As soon as the scientific community debunks one of their assertions, beginning with the MMR vaccine, then they come up with something else. So it was in the late 1990s, there was a false assertion and a fraudulent paper written claiming that the MMR vaccine causes autism. That was shown to be, that paper was retracted, and the scientific community followed with large cohort studies of hundreds or even thousands of kids showing that kids who get the MMR vaccine are no more likely to get autism than kids who don't. And then a few years later, Mr. Kennedy in 2005 wrote an article in Rolling Stone magazine claiming, okay, if it's not MMR, it must be thimerosal preservative that used to be in vaccines. Similarly debunked with large cohort studies, even non-human primate studies. The scientific community was very vigilant in following up with his assertions. Then he switched it up again, or they switched it up again, saying it's because we're overwhelming the immune system by spacing vaccines too close together. Absolute nonsense. Then it was alum and vaccine. So you're always kind of playing this